Thank you so much. How great that was. Singing about our Savior. That's wonderful. Turning your Bibles to Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 18. We're going to speak on a good thing to know is Jesus has power to take us all the way home. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, lead us and guide us. Speak your word to our hearts. Meet needs, encourage, strengthen, and dear Lord, may the Lord Jesus be praised in this service this morning. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We've heard about red power, black power, coal power, nuclear power, Cajun power. But Jesus said he has all power. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus is given the Great Commission, the marching orders of the church in this passage of Scripture. He's speaking to his disciples. Jesus is letting them know that he has all power, including power over the prince of the power of the air, the one who would oppose them and also will oppose us. The Holy Spirit declared that Jesus has all power, and his power was proven by his resurrection from the dead. Listen to Romans 1:4. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. The Holy Spirit declared him to be the Son of God. Jesus declared to be the Son of God, and he confirmed it by his holiness and life, and by his resurrection from the dead. The Spirit of holiness, the Holy Spirit, declares Jesus has all power. He proves it by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus' holiness and resurrection proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that he has all power. You can trust this Christ to take you all the way home. Creation around us declares that Jesus has all power. Listen to Romans, the first chapter, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now, how can the invisible things be clearly seen by us? There is a way, by looking at God's creation. Let's finish the verse. Are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Or people around the world, in this area, yes, but also in every area of the world, people are without excuse. Now, through creation, we can know the fact of God, the power of God, and the wrath of God. But we cannot know the love of God, the grace of God, or the gospel of God. Now, if there's someone who wants to know, no matter where, God would be obligated to, but he would get the word to them some way, somehow. He is God. He can do it. He'll call some missionary to go and take the word, or some other way he will get the word to them how they can be saved. Jesus declared that he has all power, and proved it by his resurrection. He proved it by his death, burial, and resurrection, and the miraculous work he did while he was on earth. The Holy Spirit declares Jesus has all power. Creation declares his power. And every saved person is proof that Jesus has all power, even to saving people from a fallen, sinful, Adamic nature. And listen, of his fullness. Now, he was full. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, everything else. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. We have received that which filled the Lord Jesus. We have received his power. We receive grace to receive more of his power and more of his grace. He has power to convert a soul. Paul experienced it. He has power for Christian service. Paul knew it. He has power for championship living. Paul learned it. Listen, he has power over creation, over the elements. Paul wrote about it in Romans 1. And he has power to be the captain of our salvation. Listen to Hebrews 2:10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. Listen, it's are all things. Everything he created is for himself, even you and me. Listen to it again. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory. Here's why he created it all, to bring many sons unto glory. Not just a few people, but many sons unto glory. God did not institute a program of failure. Listen, he had a program to save people. Everyone who will trust him, he will save them. And I'm a firm believer there will be a lot of people in heaven. That doesn't mean most people will be there, but there will be a lot of people in heaven. Bring many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. And we need to look at the word perfect, because it means to complete something, to accomplish something, to finish a work, to fulfill a purpose. Listen, perfect in this verse is not a reference to sin or to the character of the Lord Jesus. He was the Son of perfection. There was no imperfection in him. But it means he finished the work he came to do. And sufferings has to do with emotional as well as physical and spiritual. But those for whom Jesus had an affection, you and me, those who for whom he had an affection caused him to suffer. And it is through Jesus' suffering that he brought our salvation to completion. That's a reason that we can come today and be saved and know that we're saved. You see, someday the tidal wave of death will roll in from the sea of eternity and sweep each one of us off of this little sandbar of earth into the presence of God forever. But because of his redemption given to us in answer to our repentance, we will go with assurance in our hearts singing, "The Lord is my shepherd, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Listen, Jesus has power to care for us, to protect us, and take us all the way home. And with blessed assurance, we can safely abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Jesus has power over the powerful devil. If you do not believe there is a devil, try to live a holy life and involve yourself in God's work, and it won't be long. You'll believe in him, and maybe more than one. The ladies in a church were having a meeting, and they were discussing the devil. One little lady said, "You know, I kind of believe there is a devil." Another lady spoke up. She said, "You know, I think there may be a devil." Another lady with a strong voice spoke up and said, "I know there's a devil. I'm married to him." But anyway, the devil has power. He is a prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2:2, "Wherein in time past ye walked," or you lived, "according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." He dictated to us. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, that's working. He's working. He's busy day and night working in people who do not believe him. But he also has power to give things. Remember the testing of the Lord Jesus in Luke, the 4th chapter. The devil took Jesus and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, every one of them from beginning to end. And in the 6th chapter, 6th verse, chapter 4 of the Luke, the devil said unto Jesus, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it." He said, "I'll give it all to you, if." There's always an if in the devil's tale. "If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine." The devil was saying, I have power over this political, economical, and religious systems of the world, and I have power to give it to whomsoever I will. And Jesus never denied that he didn't have the power to do that. Listen, the devil will give a person whatever it takes to keep them from being saved and walk with God. He has power to blind and to bind. And if your prosperity keeps you from serving God, your prosperity did not come from God. Listen, Jesus has power over temptation. He gives us power over temptation. Before Jesus entered into his ministry, he went through a time of testing, and he came through it victorious. Before we walk with God, we'll have a time of testing. We'll be put to the test. In Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 11, the devil wanted Jesus to do three stupid things. Listen to it. Jesus had been fasting 40 days, 40 nights. He was afterwards hungered, the Bible says. And the devil offered him a stone. He said, make this stone bread. Now, he's appealing to him through the physical because he's hungry. And that's the lust of the flesh. And then he offered Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. Listen, that's no temptation to Jesus. He created them all. He just spoke them into existence. But the devil is foolish enough to offer them to him. And he's appealing to the Lord Jesus through greed, through the lust of the eyes. See, there's the lust of the flesh. Here's a stone, make it bread. Then there's the lust of the eyes, the things of the world. That's for the middle-aged people. And then he offered him something to do so that he could prove that he's superior to everyone else. He said, listen, you go up on the pinnacle of this temple, the highest point, and you jump off. There are worshipers walking and other people walking to and fro. He said, listen, they'll think you're great. And then the devil quoted a scripture to him. He misquoted the scripture. You don't believe everything that comes by quoting scripture. You make sure it's rightly divided. So you jump off this pinnacle of the temple. And there he appealed to Jesus through the pride of life. And that is, he appealed to him through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that's the way he appeals to us. But Jesus did not yield to him at all. It was not a temptation. And Luke, the 4th chapter, verse 14, says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. He went through it all, but he returned in the power of the Spirit. He returned into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. When he overcame that devil, listen, there was a fame about him. God could use him. He continued in the reason that he came, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit without limit. Now, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but it has limits, but not Jesus. His was without limits, and everything that Jesus did, he did as a Spirit-filled man. He did not do it as God. If he had not done it as a Spirit-filled man, he could not be our example or our pattern. Because we are not God, but we do have the Holy Spirit, and we are to walk as Jesus walked. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, that endureth temptation. Here it's a putting to proof. You see, temptation comes to prove what's really in us, and it brings out what's really in us. The man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, not if he's tried, but when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. This temptation, it has to do with testing more than a solicitation to do evil. And it endureth. It endureth simply means to remain strong during temptations, to bear up courageously under suffering. And when temptation or the trying of our faith or love comes, run to Jesus. Run to him because he understands.
He has a power. He has been through that which we are going through. There was a black fellow, was a custodian at a seminary. He'd been there for a long time, and one of the students asked him, he said, "You've been here for so long." He said, "What have you learned from these fellows in the seminary?" He said, "Well," he said, "I learned to steal, to lie, and to beg." He said, you did what? He said, "I learned to steal, to lie, and to beg." He said, "Y'all have taught me that when troubles come, to steal away to Jesus, to lie on his bosom and beg for mercy." And I tell you, that's a good lesson to learn. We all need to learn that. Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Now, Jesus has power to establish a believer. After we are saved, we need to be established in the faith. At Romans 16:25, "Now to him," the Lord, "that is a power to establish you," to establish us, to strengthen us, to set us steadfastly, to turn us in a certain direction. You see, God will establish us so that we will stay put. We will stay by the stuff, and we will not be moved by every wind of false doctrine that blows by. He will establish you. How will he do it? According to my gospel. The gospel. Through the preaching of Jesus Christ. There's that word preaching again. The whole country moving away from preaching. Don't preach to me. But the Bible says we need preaching, because it will save us. It will establish us. And according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the beginning of the world. Now, what is the mystery? The mystery is Jew and Gentile in the same body. Everyone who's not a Jew is a Gentile. Listen, in this verse, we see progression and growth in our Christian lives. And that comes through learning the Word of God. You see, we learn by reading, by studying, and by hearing. Another reason to be in church. He established us in the Word, in the faith, and in the work he chose for us. And when Jesus establishes us, we will not wander around aimlessly. I'm telling you, we will put our hands to the plow doing his work. 1 Peter 5:10, this great verse of scripture says, "But the God of all grace," he's a God of grace, "who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus." After that you've suffered a while, now we're going to suffer, but it's just for a while, "make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." When I encounter these words, eternal glory, my vocabulary fails me. It's just too limited. You see, our salvation will ultimately place us in his eternal glory. We are going to glory, not just a place, but a state of being. We're going to glory. It's an eternal glory. It will never, never, no, never end. Listen, don't tell me you'll lose out if you get saved. No, no, don't tell me that. Because we're going to glory. And everything that the Lord took out of my life saved me trouble. A lot of trouble. I thank him for it. Everything he's added to my life has given me a blessing, a joy, and it will last eternity. We are going to his eternal glory. I cannot emphasize it enough. I just say, be saved today, because we're going to the Shekinah glory. Listen, Jesus endues men with power. We need power in the Christian life to live it, to walk the daily walk. And Luke 24:49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." The Lord Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. He would leave, the Holy Spirit would come. He said, "I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." That endued, to be clothed with the power. You see, when there's no anointing It is disappointing. I don't care who's preaching or doing what. If the Holy Spirit is not there anointing, it is very disappointing. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power. Now, he didn't say you're going to receive salvation for doing this. He said you're saved, you're going to receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And when he comes upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, that's a hometown, and in all Judea, that's a surrounding area. In Samaria, that's a place that's next to us. And listen to this, and unto the uttermost part of the earth, the uttermost part of the earth. Forget the four-wall religion church. Get your eyes on the world out there, because God can do it. Now, we don't have a lot of missionaries. We have, about 13, 14, something like that. And we got them on different places, different countries, and they're working here. And I know in Gospel Nugget, you heard me say earlier, over 100 countries. Listen, this verse of Scripture, God meant what he said. And if we'll take him at his word and step out on it, listen, uttermost part of the earth. Stephen was full of faith and power. And Stephen did great wonders and miracles among the people. Think about it. Stephen had power, but it cost him. He was killed. Paul had power, but it cost him. He was in jail much of the time, or trying to escape for his life. Jacob had power in the Old Testament. The angel of the Lord, which was the Lord himself, came. Jacob wrestled with him. He wouldn't let him go until he blessed him. And he blessed him. And he had power with God and with men, but he limped for the rest of his life. Listen, it cost him. There was a preacher by the name of Dixon. And he talked to the Lord. He prayed. He said, Lord, I want to be in that river. That is, in the river of power, the Holy Spirit flowing. He said, I want to be in that river. And one day, he went blind. Just couldn't see anything. He was blind. He went to the Lord and talked to the Lord about it. And the Lord said, you're in that river. And he began to preach with power. And power, he had it, but it cost him something. Billy Graham, I heard Billy Graham say, Dr. Graham, he said, I'm not a good preacher. He said, there are a lot of preachers preach better than me. He said, but God has given me power. No one can deny that. God gave him power, but it cost him. Think how many weeks and months at the time he was away from home. There was David Livingston, that great missionary in Zambia, Central Africa. He went there, stayed for years, and when he died, he requested his heart be buried in Africa, and it was. Listen, he did a tremendous work. We're still talking about it today. The two missionaries from this church that was there and working in that country, in the very town where he was, is doing a great work there. He opened the door for all of that, but it cost him. He was away from home. Listen, he was in Central Africa and he lived in Europe. And in those days, to go from Africa to Europe would take days on a ship to go there. And when he would go home, his children, the story is the children would be very shy in the presence of the stranger. They did not know their own daddy. It cost him. But listen, millions came to Christ. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Why could they do it? How could these men do it? Because God's grace is sufficient. He said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul writing, most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Listen, it took infirmities to bring out the power of Christ that was in Paul. Do not shun the hard places in your life. God may be working to make you a choice vessel. Listen, in Ephesians 1, the first chapter, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Now I want to pause to insert something. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? Not who speak in tongues, not who works a lot of miracles, but who believe, who place their faith and trust in the living Christ. We trust him. We surrender all to him. And he has the power, his mighty power, the resurrection power, which he wrought in Christ. You see, the same power that was in Christ is in us. Now, we don't have what he had, but we have the same quality of power in us. And when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. And Paul, writing in Ephesians to the church at Ephesus, said, whereof I was made a minister. He was made a minister. He didn't grow up a minister. He was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. It was a gift given to Paul, the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Paul said, God's power effectually worked in me and equipped me to do the work. Sometimes it takes years for God to effectually work in us, to transform us into the servant that he desires us to be. There was a man, a preacher by the name of E.M. Bounds, said, it takes 20 years to make a preacher. I believe that. Some of us, it takes longer. In Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Listen, we can't understand that love, but we can know it in Christ. We can know it with our mind, but we cannot understand it. To know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what we need in the closing days of this age, so that we can stand firm. Now unto him that's able, now unto him that has a power to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It's in there. It's working in us. We need to release it and let it go. There's power working in Christians that fits us for service in the kingdom of God. It needs to be released through us. Jesus will return in power. Listen. Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 30. Listen. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's not the rapture. That's the revelation when he comes back with us. The world will not see him when he comes for us. But when he comes back with us, yeah, the whole world will see him coming in power and great glory. Jesus has power, authority, love, compassion to forgive sin. You see, salvation is a life-changing experience that lasts forever. It comes when we believe him and commit our souls to him, trusting him to save us. Jesus has power to set the captive free. He has power to make the wounded whole. Jesus has power to save us, keep us, and even bring us to church. And these are some good things to know until Jesus comes and takes us all the way home. Listen, let's stand with our heads bowed. We learn to live and to go in his power as we stand. We're going to sing. Give an invitation for people to come to Christ. They gave an invitation in the church that I attended. I was sitting on a pew, miserable as I could be. They gave an invitation. The old parson man, he had a long finger and he's pouring. Come to Christ. And the Holy Spirit said, it's now or never. And so I came to Christ. He changed my life, changed my direction. Give me hope, and I'm on the way to eternal glory. Nothing to do with me, everything to do with a wonderful Savior, and he will save you this morning. Listen, maybe you're saved, but your life's not counting for Christ. Now is the time to surrender it all. He could do marvelous, miraculous things through your life if you just surrender to Him. You don't have to worry about doing what you're going to do. If you'll surrender to Him, He'll work through you, and it'll be a wonderful life. Let's pray. Father, have your will and way in every heart and life. Lord, please do not let anyone leave without first making their calling and election sure that they will be saved. And Lord, help Christians to surrender all. You need everyone involved in your work at this time, the closing days of this age. This is our opportunity. Have your will and way, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.